Good morning, everybody, again. As we were saying, we were having such fun last weekend, we didn't want to go home. And we kept thinking maybe that's what heaven will be like. We just all have a good time together and we won't have to leave. But who knows? We don't know. But good morning to all of you here in Virginia Beach, and good morning to all of you who are here online. We're glad you are here with us, and you encourage our hearts by your presence. And I want to tell all of you that I love you and appreciate you so much, all of you here again in Virginia Beach, and the work you've done, your faithfulness to reach this 17th anniversary milestone of your church. I pastored a little church all my life, or as long as I was pastoring, I pastored a little church. Obviously, with me preaching, not many people came, but anyway, we're used to a small group, and we know how the struggles are to continue and to hold on, and we congratulate you, and we're proud of you, and we appreciate your faithfulness over these 17 years to keep this work going, and it seems to me that it is blooming and blossoming now and bearing fruit, and we're grateful to you. I appreciate your love for me and for Betty Sue, and we are glad that we can both love and be loved, and we thank you so much for that. I appreciate your love for Jesus, for Yeshua, as Brother David would say, and as you're accustomed to saying, I'll probably use Jesus a lot today, if you'll forgive me. Appreciate your love for his truth and for his people and for his church. Appreciate your love for this church, as we've just said, and for your faithfulness to it. And we appreciate your love for your pastor, Brother David, and his wife, Sister Kathy. Thank you all so very much. I am this morning, like you, so happy that David and Kathy can get away. David, I'm sure you're watching. I'm so happy for you and Kathy to be away. I hope you have a great time, and we're all missing you. I know he's watching because when I'm here preaching, he keeps an eye on me, and so I'm sure he's watching. But happy 60th birthday to you, and happy 17th to your church. In the service beforehand, there was some mention of remembering you and Kathy in our prayers, and then someone talked about the pictures that were flooding in from the Keys, and they concluded you didn't need our prayers. So you were having such a wonderful time. But at any rate, we know they are sincere and they're joking, and they were just hoping that you would really come back home and not decide to stay. And while I'm expressing appreciation, I want to thank again, as I did at the conference, Kim and Thea for making this vacation possible and for taking such good care to give our pastor and his wife a wonderful vacation. Kim and Thea, thank you for what you've done for our pastor. We appreciate it so much. God bless you. You Bereans know how to put on a great Bible conference. Did we not just have an awesome time last weekend together? Wow, it was so enjoyable. I had fun and fellowship and food, both the natural kind and the spiritual. For Betty Sue and me, we both went home encouraged, uplifted, excited, and grateful again for feeling loved and appreciated and for being privileged to be among you. It was wonderful. Thank you, Bereans. Thank you, Bereans. I couldn't help but think that for a small church, you must have encountered tremendous costs for such a great conference as that. And we pray that God will provide and make those funds readily available to take care of all those expenses. I'm honored and grateful to be here with you. It's been too long since Betty Sue and I were with you in church. And our little temporary job has kept us busy out of town and out of state and since about Christmas time. But we're so glad that we finished now and it's over and our assignments for this season are done, and I'm very grateful. It was a bit much for an old man anyway, but we worked hard like a 30-year-old for about 3 or 4 months there, and it takes its toll on us. I'm honored more so to be asked to speak to you this morning and humbled that Brother David would trust me today to feed his sheep. I cannot really take David's place. Who could? I can at best just fill in the time and occupy this hour for him. Brother David's shoes are much too big for me. It's kind of like Jeremy if you tried to wear your daddy's big shoes or something like that. Or Cassidy if you tried to wear mom's high heels or something like that. That's how I am this morning. So I'll struggle to do the best that I can, but if I fall around a little bit, just remember, these shoes are way too big. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be in church, to be in the sanctuary with others who love you and who are dedicated to you. Thank you for this privilege. We've missed it too long, and we're so grateful to be here this morning. Father, our shoulders are weighed down heavily with the responsibility to speak a word to your people. We pray for your special presence, your anointing, and your help. We can do nothing without you, but with you, Father, we can accomplish the task before us. So grant us, we pray, help from heaven, and speak to our hearts according to thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our brother has already read for you from Young's Literal Translation, the scripture text for the morning, Matthew 6, 1 through 8. My topic coming out of that, as I reread for you one of those passages, verse 6, and this is from the King James, Jesus said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." This morning, I'm going to talk to you about, thank you so much, the ministry behind the shut door. The ministry behind the shut door. This thought is certainly not original with me. I first heard it from an old Welshman, a wonderful old preacher from Wales named A.C. Wilson. I heard him on the radio one time and then found out that he was in the States, and his message so moved me that I had to find him, and we got to know him, even had him to our church while he was here. But he was a wonderful man of God. Had been in some of the great Welsh revivals and remembers the war when the planes were coming over England and trying to deliver that nation during the World War. Good, great stories to tell. And I've preached a sermon by this title before, The Ministry Behind the Shut Door, but I've never preached the sermon we have for you this morning. It's new. It's for you and me this morning. In our text that David read, Jesus is revealing some of the hypocrisies of the religious leaders. First, when they gave alms, as the King James says, they did it to be seen. Even Jesus rebuking them for, as it were, sounding a trumpet before them. Hey, look, I'm fixing to make a big gift to the work of the Lord. Jesus said they have their rewards. They are seen of men, and men praise them, and men glorify them, and so they have their rewards, and they've got what they wanted most out of their alms. And then he goes on to talk about prayer, and he says, and when they pray, they likewise do it to be seen of men. They love to pray standing in the synagogues, and could hardly fathom this thinking about it, and they love to go be on the street corners and pray. Again, to be seen and heard of men, and again the Lord says, they have their rewards. But in verse 6 of Matthew 6, Jesus said, "But thou," again in the old King James, "when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly." Sometimes in preaching, we delay along and lay some groundwork and get to a certain point, and then we tell you what we're talking about. This morning is so obvious that we can't delay any longer identifying what the mystery behind the ministry behind the shut door is. It is too obvious. The ministry behind the shut door is the ministry of prayer. The ministry of our private prayer. It's a ministry for everyone. Sometimes we may think we have no talents. We just take a place in the pew or the chair and we don't contribute a whole lot, we feel like, and we're kind of insignificant in the church. This morning, here is a ministry that belongs to all of us. We may think we don't have any talents, or we don't have any skills, or we don't have any abilities, we don't have any gifts. But here is a ministry, the ministry behind the shut door, that is a ministry for every one of us here today. And for all of you in online, this is a ministry for us all. And it's a ministry that is as vital as any other in the church. Did you hear that? It's a ministry that is as vital as preaching and teaching and singing and technology and whatever else great skills may be required to do. The ministry behind the shut door is of equal, maybe more, in its vitalness to the church. Perhaps you never realized this. Perhaps you never realized how very important you are. And if you didn't, this morning I hope to change that feeling in your heart. Today I want you to know you are of great importance in God's kingdom. Online, you are of great importance in God's kingdom, and you're of great importance in this work, in this ministry here at Berean Church. You have a ministry. Whoever you are out there, you have a ministry. It's the ministry behind the shut door. And your ministry is so very vital to this work here in Virginia Beach and across America. You and I must not neglect our ministry. This morning we're talking about our prayers. Our prayers for the church, our prayers for our pastor, Brother David, and his sweet wife, Kathy, and the others in the various capacities, and just the work of the church. Our prayers for each other, our prayers for the lost, and the list could go on and on this morning. Your ministry behind the shut door is vital to the church. Your ministry, Kristen, behind the shut door is vital to the work of God. And I want us to feel that this morning. You may say, I can't preach, I'm not a preacher, I can't do this, I can't do that. Here is a ministry for all of us. And I want us to take it seriously this morning because it is such a vital part of the church. Without it, as we shall see, there will be a great vacancy and dryness in our lives. When Jesus said closet in the King James and shut door, he did not literally necessarily mean a closet. If you've got one that big, we don't have one like that at our house, but I've walked in some closets that you could go in and shut the door and pray. The New American Standard Bible says enter into your inner room. But the thought here of the Lord is that it's you and Him, that you're getting alone with God in your private, personal time talking with Him. In contrast, he says, to those who pray on the street corners and in church or synagogues so they can be seen of men. In contrast to that, he exhorts us to enter into our closets, our places of private prayer. Perhaps one of the greatest authors on prayer is E.M. Bounds. And in his book, Power Through Prayer, he has this, and he has many of them, but in his book, Power Through Prayer, he says this: what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men, men of prayer. End of quote. And I'd just like to requote it and expand it this morning that I think is not improper to do, to include all of us. What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but men and women, boys and girls, whom the Holy Spirit can use. Men and women, boys and girls of prayer. Men and women, boys and girls, mighty in prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through people. He does not come on machinery, but on people. He does not anoint plans, but people. Men and women, boys and girls, Jeremy, of prayer. Now think, wow, if we could be a church like that, what kind of church would it be? Paul Harvey once said, I heard him. He said, most of our praying is done when we're on our backs. And isn't that kind of true when I'm flat on my back? Well, I'm already looking up. But you know, I mean, might not be on my back, you know, physically, but you know, down and out, got troubles, somebody's sick, or I got a problem. When things are bad, or I'm on my back, as it were, then Paul Harvey says that's when we do most of our praying, and I have to say guilty right here in the first degree. I cannot help but believe that famous passage in 2 Corinthians 7:14, and everybody knows it, where God made a promise to Israel at the time of the dedication of Solomon's temple. It's one of those wonderful passages, and while so much of the Bible we say was to them and this was to Israel, but there are some passages that seem to live eternally, I think, Sister Donna. And somehow I feel like this one just goes through the ages and comes down to us today and still can be of a help and assistance to us and a promise that we can claim. In that second book of Chronicles in the 7th chapter, verses 13 and 4, God said to Israel, if I shut up the heavens, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people. That's one side of the equation. Then the other, the Lord says in that famous passage, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Using the words of my topic this morning, the minister behind the shut door, I believe today figuratively that when God shuts the windows and the doors of heaven, you and I have nothing on earth but joyless, dried up, and unfruitful lives. When God shuts the windows of heaven, and this is what he said, if I shut up heaven, and there is no rain. And if God shuts the doors of heaven for me and you, then our lives again will be dried up, destitute, dead, no rain, no refreshing living waters, and spiritually, the locusts devouring our joy. But in contrast this morning, again, in the thoughts of our title, in contrast, I also believe that when the church shuts the doors on earth, get this, the windows of heaven will open in blessings upon our lives and upon our desperate age. See the contrast? If God shuts the windows of heaven, we're in bad shape. But on earth, if we shut our doors, in the ministry behind the shut door, then the windows of heaven, I believe, open in response to our pleadings with our Lord. The ministry behind the shut door. Jesus is certainly our great example of a ministry behind the shut door. Lots of places we could read. We'll just read a few. Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Now he was probably, Brother Stan, out in the great open, but he was alone. It was as if he'd entered into his closet and he shut the door, and he began to pray. And in Mark 6:46, and we had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on land. In Luke 5:15, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. The ministry behind the shut door. Jesus is surely our great example. Behind the shut door is where we can get along with God. Behind the shut door is where we get to know God. Where things begin to happen. People wonder why. Jesus said, I hear in secret, I reward you openly. This is where God makes men. In the quiet place behind the shut door. This is where God molds character, I believe, Brother Jeff. Not in the public eye. Not to show off to other people, but alone with Him. Where He molds us and makes us in His own image. The ministry behind the shut door. I want us to look this morning at a story out of the Old Testament, 2 Kings 4, you know it well. But it's a story that speaks to us about a shut door experience, about events behind a shut door. And I think maybe we can draw from them and help our own selves this morning to take some benefit and some examples from it. The story is in 2 Kings 4, and there was a day and a time when a woman who was married to one of the sons of the prophets, her husband died. She was left a widow. And she was left a widow with great debt, apparently. And she lived in a day and a time when the creditor could come and take her two sons to help pay the debt. She'd already lost her husband, Sister Veronica, and now she was facing the loss of her children who would go away in labor to pay the debt of her husband. No doubt she reminisced about better days when home was a happy place, when her husband was there and she enjoyed her children, times of peace and joy. But now all of that seems to have been shattered. Can you put yourself this morning in her shoes? Nowhere to turn, no answers, nothing to do. The Bible tells us she cried to the prophet Elisha for help. And I can see her. I can see her shining. As she goes to the prophet crying, say, you know my husband, he was your servant. You know him, he was a good man. And now he's dead. And he had great debt. The creditors come to take my sons. Can you see her? Sister Sharon, can you see her? My sons. My boys. Can you help me, Elisha? You've got to do something. Life is bad enough. My husband is gone. And now they're taking my sons. Help me. Help me if you can. I can't imagine that grief and that agony. But Elisha said, what shall I do for you? And then you know the story. He said, what have you got in the house? There's a sermon there. We won't get into that. She just said, I got just a little pot of oil. Elisha says, well, just go borrow all the vessels you can. Get all the oil pots and the vessels you can. Just get them all. Get as many as you can. And bring them back into your house there. This is such beautiful wording in the King James. He said to her in verses 4 through 7, borrow all those vessels. He said, don't borrow a few. Just get all you can. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her sons, bring me yet a vessel. They said to her, there's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. What an ending. What an ending, Brother Brian. What a great victory. What a happy time. Three things this morning I want us to see from this widow's story. Three things I want us to see, Julie, from this behind the shut door experience for her, and draw from them to help us with our ministry behind the shut door. All of you know your ministers now. You have a ministry behind the shut door. You ought to be able to pray good. You ought to be able to talk good. You ought to be able to say fancy words. It's just you and the Lord behind the shut door. This morning, behind the shut door in 2 Kings, the oil was multiplied. Behind the shut door, the oil was multiplied. And I believe this morning I've always kind of felt like that oil was in the Bible was a beautiful type of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Beautiful type of the Holy Spirit. I think about the anointing oil for the vessels in the sanctuary. And the anointing oil that they poured on Aaron's head and ran down his beard and on his clothing. The oil. And when we take care, when you and I take care of our ministry behind the shut door, I believe, Sister Claire, that His Holy Spirit will flow among us in a greater measure. Hallelujah. I believe it will flow among us in a greater measure, filling our hearts with His holiness and His likeness, with His attributes, making us more lovely, more loving, filling us with kindness and holiness and forgiveness, and with less complaining and bickering and stress. When the ministry behind the shut door has been functioning, the Holy Spirit flows throughout the church, I believe, and the church runs so much more smoothly with the Holy Spirit flowing from breast to breast. And the preaching is so much more full of life and God's anointing. Brother David will be dry and boring and lifeless without the support of your ministry behind the shut door. Hallelujah. But with your ministry functioning behind the shut door, hallelujah, His ministry will bloom here. Hallelujah. He can't do it alone. We're one body and different parts and different things to do. And all of us this morning have something to do. And all of us are important. And I want you to realize that. Whether you're sitting on the front row or the back row, whether you feel like you have a real big place in this church or a little, real little place, in God's eyes, this is the ministry for all of us that gives us equal status in His presence. Behind your short shut doors, the oil of His Spirit flows and it is multiplied. The church, Brother John, is like a fine piece of precision machinery, like the finest of motors. And as you guys know, any physical machine needs natural oil to run and to function smoothly. You know what happened to the motor. I just had to have a lot of work done to mine, many hundreds of dollars. And they said, we don't fix it, all the oil might leak, run out, and it'll just freeze up and ruin the motor. The church is like that. It needs the oil of the Holy Spirit to operate as He intended. And we know that out, just like without the natural oil and the natural motor, it'll lock up and become useless. Likewise, the church, without His Holy Spirit flowing from breast to breast, without His presence among us, what did I say? Without Yeshua's Spirit among us, in our hearts, if we don't have Him at home and bring Him to church with us when we come, He may not be here. But as we take care of our ministry behind the church door, behind the shut door, the church, hallelujah, will operate smoothly. It'll run well. Otherwise, it'll become useless and powerless. and not able to carry out its mission. The preacher can't function right without God's presence in his life. And who of us can do anything without God's presence in our life? Oh, sure, I can make a talk. I can learn a few facts and present them to somebody. But this morning in the kingdom of God, preaching and teaching becomes more than just speeches. The Holy Spirit is anointing and flowing and helping us. And behind the shut door, the oil flowed. It was multiplied. And when it's flowing through the pulpit and the pew, what a wonderful operating machine the church is. The oil was multiplied behind the shut door. You are so important to the success of this church. You in internet land, you're so important to the success of this church. Your ministry behind the shut door is important. Children, boys and girls, young people, older people, your ministry behind the shut door is important to this church. Your prayers count. Hallelujah. Your pastor can't be what he ought to be for you and for all of us without it. Behind the shut door, lift Brother David to the heavens. Bear him in your arms into the presence of God. Praying for him, lifting him up. Keep the oil flowing and the anointing of God on his life. There have been those times in my own lives, perhaps when I was invited to preach in a series of meetings at some church, and we would go hoping for revival. And then there have been those times when we have meetings at our church and we'd hope for revival. When we had a meeting, Brother Jeff, we never said, "You folks come to the revival." We didn't know if we were going to have a revival, Brother John. I see some advertisements, you know, "Come see the great power of God. You know, come see what God is doing. Come see this, come see that." I always felt like we're having some meetings and we hope God's going to come and it's going to become a great display of His goodness to us. But we never called them revivals. Thank God once in a while, revival came. Hearts were moved, people were stirred. God touched folks and somebody gave their heart to the Lord. And we had some baptism and the church was rejoicing. God forbid, but I could have said in my heart, "Glenn, you really preached good that meeting." But the truth was, and here's my sermon, church. Here's my sermon, church. The truth was, this is what I'm preaching about, that behind the shut door of some old saint of God, hallelujah, I'd been lifted up. The meetings had been lifted up. Somebody that maybe the church thought they could do without, perhaps, because they're not very important. It was their prayer behind the church door that turned Brother Glenn's preaching into revival. Ah, you're important this morning, church. Every last one of you, you're important. Are you praying for your church? Are you praying for your pastor? Are you praying for each other this morning? The Spirit flows when we keep our ministry behind the shut door operating. Perhaps sometimes you feel like you don't get credit. This morning I want to give credit where credit's due. Hallelujah. Your prayers make this church what it is. Hallelujah. We can do nothing without Him, but with Him. Hallelujah. With His support, with His presence, with His Spirit. I can't divide all that. Hallelujah. Jesus told me He's going to send the comforter. He'd send the comforter to take care of them and bring them comfort. And then He says in the same chapter, "Oh, just don't worry. I'll come to you." You can't separate Him. I think of the Holy Spirit as His Spirit for me. His presence among us is so important. And it can do so much for the church. And without it, it's like the windows of heaven shut. And our lives are destitute, dry. But when the church on earth shuts the door, the windows of heaven will open in blessing and benefit for our lives. You Bereans, as we've already commented, have just put on what was for Betty Sue and me an absolutely wonderful conference. Again, filled with good fellowship, good ministry, and much encouragement. Thank you. Thank you. And again, here we speakers and other important people could feel like, well, we made it happen. The third year in a row, we made it happen. No, no, no. It was those of you who've been taking care of your ministry behind the shut door. And you know who you are that deserve the most credit for that wonderful meeting. Hallelujah. It was those of you who've been taking care of your ministry behind the shut door that deserve the greatest credit for our wonderful conference. And I give you that credit this morning. You are somebody in the kingdom of God. You count. You are important. Boys and girls, men and women, you are important. I had personally been very concerned about my own responsibility to speak at that conference. I felt like that every year. People come from so far and it costs so much to come. And to stay at that beautiful hotel and it costs so much to stay there. And so much is invested. Oh, we don't know the untold numbers of people that would have liked to have been there, but they just couldn't bear that expense. I wish we could do it more cheaply. Wish I was rich and could just pick up all the tab. But I was concerned and I asked my family's prayers, different ones, remember me. And others outside my family. During our conference on Saturday evening, I called my daughter Suzanne. Now you've met one of my daughters, Sonia. You haven't met Suzanne. She's just as sweet and precious as Sonia. And I don't think either one of those girls could love Jesus more than they love him. I'm such a blessed dad. But I called her. She calls us every day. But we were away and we were at a conference and she didn't know when we were in the meeting, when we weren't in the meeting, when she could call, when she couldn't. And we said, we'll just try to call you. So Saturday afternoon, I called her. And of course, one of the first things she wanted to know was, how was your preaching, Daddy? How did you get along? Well, I'll let those of you who are at the conference answer that for yourself and decide. But I said I felt like maybe it meant something to people. Maybe they were encouraged and uplifted. I felt like God helped me in it. And I said, thank you for your prayers, Shug. She said to me, when I got up at 5:30 this morning, Daddy, the first thing I did was to pray for you. Hallelujah. And Brother John, that minister behind the shut door, unseen and out of the way, behind the scenes. Hallelujah. If I preached well, there's where the credit lies. Hallelujah. There's where the credit lies. There's where the glory ought to be. Or the ministry behind the shut door. Those behind the scenes, saints of God, who've been talking to heaven on our behalf. First this morning out of this story in Kings, behind the shut door, the oil was multiplied. And we liken it to the abundant flowing of His presence and His Spirit throughout the church. And secondly, as you know the story, behind the shut door, the shackles of bondage on the lives of the widow's sons were broken and they were free. She sold the oil and paid the debt. And the creditors had no more claim against her family. And this morning, church, against those enemies that would ensnare our children, your family and my family, your loved ones and I, my loved ones, and keep them in the bondage of sin. Surely we have no greater weapon than our ministry behind the shut door. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The lust of our flesh and the attraction of the sinful things of this world are like a big monster after our children. Most of us, of course, our children are some of us, our children up and grown. But yet there are young ones among us. And some of us are young and just married, and maybe there will be new young ones. Don't let the ministry behind the shut door for your children and your families. The sound of mama calling up heaven. Hallelujah, will do more for your children than anything else. But sin is like a big monster. In our miraculous story, behind the shut door, this widow lady was able to bring deliverance to her children. She was able to break the claims that those had, that they had on her children. I just picture like a big hand with a mighty grip on the necks of her kids. She was able to break it. And sin is like that on our children, our families, our loved ones. The greatest resource we have to loose those claws of sin, the necks of our families, is our ministry behind the shut door. I think about your precious children, Veronica. Always here, you and Jeff with them. What a beautiful family you are. They're the youngest. They're the ones that are always here. I love them. You love them. We all love them. I hope behind the shut door, you're praying for them, that God would preserve them from the ravages of sin as they grow up, tempted in the world like all of us. And maybe your children are grown and out in the world, and maybe you prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. You, this morning, friends, if your loved ones are lost, I still don't know anything better to ask you to do than to take care of your ministry behind the shut door in their behalf. Jesus promised, "Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." And again, I believe that's one of those promises that live on. I know it was spoken then to them about their situation, but I believe it lives on, and that we can rightly and correctly apply it to our lives and to our time today. I believe it transcends the ages and dispensations. And I don't mean that every prayer will be answered. Surely not answered like we want to, like we want it to. And sometimes answers might even not come in our lifetime. But if necessary, moms and dads, we got to go to our graves, bearing our families and our children before the Lord. Can we do any less to minister behind the shut door? Brought deliverance to her sons and the bondage they were in. And just liken that again to the bondage of sin. You know well the story in Acts 12. Herod took James and he killed him. And he saw that it made folks happy. And so he arrested Peter. And after the feast days, he was probably going to do the same to Peter. You know the story. Body believers had gathered, Brother David, behind the shut door. They were praying for Peter. This morning my thoughts are about private prayer, individual prayer, our own ministries behind the shut door. But surely there comes a time for corporate prayer, for public prayer. This was a time in the early church. And you know that the Lord sent his angel and delivered Peter. And he was just stunned. He walked out of the jail and the doors opened and the shackles fell off. And after a while he came to himself. He said, "I ain't dreaming. This is real." And I don't know if they always had prayer at John Mark's mother's house or not. But he went. That's where he went. And you know the story. A maid came to see who was at the door when he knocked. And she saw it was Peter. And she was so excited she didn't even open the shut door. But she ran back to tell the rest of them. And they who had been praying to God for the deliverance of Peter said, "Honey, you're crazy." Not those words. That's my paraphrase. "Come and see." And they all came. And when they had opened the shut door, they saw Peter. Hallelujah. What a glorious deliverance. I told you in the 10 o'clock service about the sickness of my sister's grandchild, Nolan. Nolan Hill, he is. No kin by the Hills that I know about, but does bear our name, Nolan Hill. Lives in Virginia, in Lynchburg area. 9 years old. 10 on Tuesday, I believe they said. A couple of weeks sick in the hospital, not knowing what was going to happen to him, not knowing what was wrong with him. In Lynchburg, they gave him one antibiotic and sent him home. He swelled up big, had to be rushed back, gave him another one, swelled up big. They didn't know what was wrong with the child. Just this past Monday morning, word came to us, and the mom and the grandma had been calling back Rocky Mount among her friends and all, pray for our grand boy, the sick child. Monday morning, word came, Brother John, that they had packed that little boy's body in ice to try to control his raging fever. They were desperate. On Monday, having heard that word, one of my wonderful daughters-in-law, such a blessed man, name is Jeannie, she called me, called our house. I happened to answer the phone. And she said, I just feel like our family needs to get together and pray for Nolan. Can we come to your house tonight? Sister Sharon, I don't know, we're busy. Hallelujah, can you come, honey? Can you come? Come on. So she called around, and that night at 8 o'clock, about 17 of us got together there in our den. And I not knowing that I was going to use this, I read that story out of Acts where the church was gathered together behind the shut door praying for Peter. They transferred him to another hospital. They discovered his boy had a burst appendix, perhaps for a couple of weeks. Had an abscess in his colon the size of a drink can. Went into emergency surgery, not knowing if he was strong enough to take it. Told his mom and his dad he might come out with a colostomy bag for the rest of his life. Hallelujah, the successful surgery was the report. And no bag. And the latest report on Friday morning, as I told the group this morning, was that the doctors were amazed and flabbergasted at his progress. Lots of folks were praying for him. Hallelujah. And we thank God for his condition and that he's getting better. But there are times when the church just needs to come together behind the shut door and in the strength of numbers and in the strength of each other's fellowship and companionship to call up heaven for our needs. That's a different kind of ministry. This morning I'm talking about your individual ministry behind the shut door. It keeps the Holy Spirit flowing in your life and in the church. You know, you got a hard time praying sincerely to God and going off, Brother David, and sinning. You got a hard time. You got a hard time bowing before the Lord, asking Him to help you, to lead you, and to guide you in all great sincerity, and then get up and go break His heart. It just... The oil of His presence just kind of stays with us. We take care of the ministry behind the shut door. Our ministry behind the shut door keeps the oil flowing, the oil of His Spirit. The ministry behind the shut door helps to keep the clutches of sin and this world off our children and loved ones. And finally, the ministry behind the shut door brings new life to us and to others. Just listen to those words in verse 7. For the widow and her son, verse 7, quote, pay thy debt and live thou of the rest. Hallelujah. New life, new joy, new courage, new hope for ourselves and for others comes out of our ministries behind the shut door. And as we think about that fact, our ministry behind the shut door can bring new life to ourselves and to others. Let's follow this great man of God, Elisha, in this same chapter. Well, after this story, it goes on to talk about the Shunammite woman. And you know that story. I don't have to delay it to you, but I have to tell you a little bit about it, but not a great deal, maybe. Elisha passed through Shunam regularly. And there was this great lady, had a husband. And she apparently fed him when he was in town often. And they get doing this. And after a while, she says to her husband, this just seems like a man of God. Let's build him a little chamber, a little room on our house. Apparently it must have been upstairs. And then when he comes, well, we won't just feed him. We can have a place to lay down and to rest. What a story there is in the little chamber there. All he needed, a bed and a table and a stool and a light. Another sermon. He fed him dead to the Shunammite woman. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, what can we do for this woman? She's done so much for us. They asked her, nothing, I'm happy, I'm content, life is good. And Gehazi says to the prophet later, it seems, I've observed she don't have any children. Light bulb came on in Elisha's mind, oh, we take care of that. Oh, but her husband was old, Scripture says. But nevertheless, he said, go call her. And she came to him, and he said to her, about this time, according to the season of life, you have a child. He said, oh, don't deceive me, man of God, don't deceive me. The story goes on that by and by in the proper time, she had a son. And he grew up and one day was able to go out into the fields with his daddy, I suppose, walking around, and as I said in the sermon in the conference, maybe barefooted in the newly plowed ground. But one day there, he became sickly. The dad said to one of his servants, take him back to his mama. And she took him back to his mother. And the Bible says she sat on his knee, and then he died. The lady immediately took him and Paula, and up the chamber she went with him and laid him on the bed of Elisha the prophet. And she said to her husband, get one of the men to saddle me a donkey, that I can go in a hurry and find the man of God. And he said, why are you going today, honey? It's not the Sabbath, it's not a new moon. Why are you going today? Just don't worry, she said, it is well. Wow. And she said it again, it is well, when she encountered the prophet. And her boy was laying dead in the prophet's bed. You know the story. The prophet saw her coming afar off and said, something's wrong here. And the Lord hadn't told me what it is. She came up to the Lord and she said, what's wrong, ma'am? Is everything well? And she said, it's well. Hallelujah. Sermon there too, isn't it? It's well. Then the prophet found out that it wasn't really well with her son at the moment. He sent Gehazi, his servant, and said, go, take my staff. Go fast as you can. If you meet somebody, don't stop and say hello. If they try to stop you and greet you, have nothing to do with it. Go fast as you can and lay my staff on the boy's body. Gehazi did that. And the woman said to Elisha, the prophet, I'm not going without you. She had hold of his feet. I'm not going without you. So they start too, back to the house where the Shunammite woman lived. In the meantime, I picture it, and I don't know if the details are just like this, but it seemed like Gehazi kind of meets him coming on back. I did what you said, Elisha, but the boy's not awakened. And Elisha comes. And I read for you again out of 2 Kings. Verses 32 and 33 out of the fourth chapter. He said, and when Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed, upon Elisha's bed. And he went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. Elisha entered this little room, Brother Gary, where her death was already in charge, taken over, and he shut the door. I believe I know how he was feeling, Brother Eddie. I believe I know how Elisha's spirit was. I think he was saying, Brother David, I got to get along, just me and God, this dead child. Went up alone into his little chamber and shut the door And he prayed, the scripture says. And then he stretched himself upon the child. Jeremy, the scripture says, he put his mouth to the child's mouth. He put his eyes to the child's eyes. He put his hands to the child's hands. And the scripture says the child waxed warm. But he was still lifeless seeming. And the prophet got up and began to walk to and fro. I can just see him walking to and fro. Perhaps wrestling with his own self and wrestling with God about this dead child. Have you ever walked to and fro in your inner sanctuary? In your closet with the Lord, you're feeling so desperate before Him that somehow you don't intervene in the problem at hand. And somehow you don't work mightily behind the scenes to bring an answer to the thing that's breaking your heart. But you just can't stand it. I just see Elisha, that's what he was doing. Pleading and imploring. Almighty God. Then he went and stretched himself again. Amanda, again. The child sneezed 7 times. A lot there, Brother Jeff. Maybe you could probably get it out. And the child opened his eyes. It was new life. Sister Sharon behind the shut door. There was a happy mom. Said, "Go, Hazel, go call her." That come, take up your child. Wow! Glory, new life behind the shut door. Now you and I are not going to be praying for the naturally dead to be raised. But oh, I do believe that in our ministry behind the shut door, that it is a ministry of life, and we should be praying for those who are spiritually dead in their sins, in need of resurrection to eternal life. In and through Jesus Christ. Oh, saints of God, do we ever stretch ourselves spiritually over the corpse of someone dead in trespasses and sins? Do we ever gaze into the darkness of their souls, those with the clutches of sin yet on their necks? Do you ever cry out to God to breathe new life into those spiritually dead corpses? Hallelujah. Your ministry behind the shut door is a ministry of life. Life for yourself as you experience His presence behind the shut door. I mean, you can get more intimate with God back there than anywhere else in the world. But more than just yourself. Life for lost sinners. Hearts touched. Men and women coming to the cross. Coming to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's so much more. So much more. So many other examples. But I must conclude. You are so important to the church. You hear me? Every one of you are so important to the church. Internet land, every one of you are so important to the ministry. You have a ministry given of God. The ministry behind the shut door. Your ministry is of untold value. Shannon, it's of untold value. Whether or not you pray behind the shut door matters on Sunday morning. It matters. Your ministry is of untold value and importance. You dare not neglect it. I think Betty Sue's daddy was perhaps one of the most wonderful men I've ever known. Died prematurely in his 60s, a great preacher, a wonderful man, a wonderful daddy, had 3 precious daughters, and he gave me one of them. He was a farmer preacher. David, back in the woods behind his house, by a tree, that was the imprint of 2 knees. He had often frequented God in his ministry behind the shut door on behalf of others, on behalf of his church that he pastored, and the knees were there. I can't claim that kind of dedication. I can't say that you'll find that of me. I can't even say you'll find my toes
scratched up because I've been on my knees so much. I can't say that. This sermon's for me as well as for you if you find a place in it. But the minister behind the shut door, we can't neglect it. It's so important. It keeps the oil of the Spirit flowing among us. It helps protect our children and our families, and it breathes life constantly into our fellowship. And now and again, into the heart of a lost one out there. Behind the shut door, we find Yeshua. We can get intimate with Him. We can see Him. We can touch Him. Oh, not literally, Brother Stan. But we know, Sister Claire, that He's in the closet with us. And coming out from our closets, sometimes our testimony is like Mary leaving the tomb, Sister Mary. That beautiful song written about that called, "I've Just Seen Jesus." Sister Kathy, I don't know if you know that. If you ever sung it, learn it for us and sing it to us. My youngest sister used to sing it in our church, and she sang it so beautifully. Part of it goes like this: "I've just seen Jesus, Sister Donna. I've just seen Jesus, and I'll never be the same again." Folks, those are the kind of experiences you can have for your own life behind the shut door. And it only blesses you. Blesses all the body of Christ. That's the witness of those Christians who have spent time behind the shut door. "I've just seen Jesus, and I'll never be the same again." Again, I cannot claim to be up to par. This message is for me. Neither can I imagine nor fathom the dedication of the commitment of a man like J. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China. Dedication. Who said of his 40 years in that faraway land, quote, "The sun has never risen upon China without finding me at prayer." Wow. The minister behind the shut door. Let's retitle it from this perspective, your ministry behind the shut door. But more personally, let you say and let me say, my ministry behind the shut door. Heavenly Father, forgive us for our shortcomings and our slackness. Enable us somehow, Father, to be more what we ought to be for You and for others. It's so important. We pray, Father, for ourselves and for this church, for all those who are part of our body by the internet across this land and perhaps across the world. Help us to see how vitally important we are. And that whether we're near or far, that You can take care of things here because we pray wherever we are. Let prayer come alive for us in You. Let us see again how important we are and that our ministry is valuable to Your work in the earth and to Your cause. Take our feeble words, Lord, and multiply them like the oil. Multiply them and fix them and make them food for this church, edification for this body. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus.